Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you the only one on, Bernice?
So far.
Okay. Well, we'll start in a minute. Today we are studying the first Aliyah of Parashah Shemini. We'll start with L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bitkilu Urchimu Utilu Utilu Urchimu Le'achta L'Shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohino alena maasei yadeinu kunenei alena maasei yadeinu kunenehu. The first Aliyah begins with Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1, and completes at verse 16. This is a total of 16 verses, and we know the number 16 is the Yud and the Vav of Hashem's name. These are the male letters, the sharing letters within Hashem's name. There are two receiving letters and two sharing letters. Verse 1. Vayehi bayom Hashemini kara Moshe le'acharon uvanav Israel, Vayomer el Aharon, Kach lecha egel, Ben bakar lecha ta'at, V'yayil eolat temimim, V'hakrev lifnei Adonai, Yohe wahe adanuyo. Yo aheda wanu heyo, we'el b'nei Yisrael, tedaber le'mor, kehu se'ir, izim lecha ta'at, we'egel v'keves b'nei shana, temimim le'ola, v'shor Lamin Lisboa Lifne Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo Umin Ha Balula Bashemen Kihayom Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo aheda wanu heyo, nira alehem. Waichu et asher tziwa Moshe el pene, o el moed vayikruvu. Kol haeda vaya amdu, lifne Adonai. Yo he wahe adanu yo. Yo aheda wanu heyo. Wayomer Moshe ze hadavar. Asher tziwa adonai. Yo he wahe adanu yo. Yo aheda wanu heyo. Ta'asu yera alechem kevot Adonai Yohe wahe adanu yo Yohe da wanu heyo Wayomer Moshe el acharon Kirav el hamizbeah Weaseh el Ba'am v'kaper ba'adam ka'asher tziwa Adonai yo-hei-wa-hei adanu yo yo-ah-hei-da-wa-nu hei-yo va'yikra v'acharon el ha-mizbeach va'yishchat et egel ha-chatat asher lo Vayakrivu b'nei Aharon et ha-dam melav Vayidbol et ba'o ba'dam vayitem al karnot ha-mizbeach v'yed ha-dam yatzak el yesod ha-mizbeach V'et ha-chelev v'et ha-chlayot v'et ha-yoteret min ha-kaved min ha-chata'at tiktir ha-mizbeach ha-mizbecha ka'asher tziwa Adonai yo-hei-wa-hei adanu yo Dawanu heyo et Moshe v'et habasar v'et haor sara v'esh michutz lemachane v'yishchad et haola v'yamtziu v'nei acharon elav et hadam v'yisrekehu Al ha-mizbeach saviv v'yed ha-ola im siyu elav limchtacheha v'yed ha-rosh v'yachter al ha-mizbeach v'yirchatz et ha-kerev v'yed ha-chrav i'ayim v'yachter Al ha-ola ha-mizbecha v'yakrev et karban
Has joined.
We're on verse 14. V'yirchat et hakerev v'yed hachrayim v'yachter al ha'ola ha-mizbecha v'yachrev et karban ha'am v'yikach et seir ha-chata'at Asher la'am v'yishchatehu v'yichatehu k'arishon. V'yakrev et ha'ola v'yaseha k'amishpat. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. Let's study the English translation.
Has joined.
The English translation begins with chapter 9, verse 1. And it was on the eighth day that Moses summoned Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a bull calf as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering, unblemished, and bring near before Hashem. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a he-goat as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, in their first year, and unblemished as a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram as a peace offerings, to slaughter before Hashem, and a meal offering mixed with oil. For today Hashem is appearing to you. And they took what Moses had commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the entire community approached and stood before Hashem. And Moses said, "This is the thing that Hashem has commanded. Do, and the glory of Hashem will appear to you." And Moses said to Aaron, "Approach the altar and perform your sin offering and your burnt offering, atoning for yourself and for the people, and perform the people's sacrifice, atoning for them as Hashem has commanded." So Aaron approached the altar and slaughtered his sin offering calf. And Aaron's sons brought forward the blood to him, and he dipped his finger into the blood, placing on the horns of the altar, and he poured the blood at the base of the altar. And the fat, the kidneys, and the diaphragm with the liver from the sin offering, he caused to smoke on the altar, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he burned the flesh and the hide in fire outside the camp. And he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented the blood to him, and he dashed it on the altar around. And they presented the burnt offering to him in its pieces, along with the head, and he caused to smoke on the altar. And he washed the innards and the legs, and he caused to smoke on the altar, along with the burnt offering. And he brought forward the people's sacrifice. He took the people's sin offering goat, slaughtered it, and made it a sin offering like the first one. And he brought forward the burnt offering and prepared it according to the law. While I didn't make any comments on any of these verses, what we need to understand is this took place on the eighth day. But what day is the eighth day? The eighth day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, while they were in the desert. It was the second year they were in the desert. After the sin of the golden calf, Hashem told them to build the Mishkan, the traveling temples. And he told Moses to be the high priest for 7 days, the last 7 days in Adar of that first year. And then on the eighth day, Aaron took over as the high priest. Moses was no longer acting as the high priest. And it was no longer that the traveling Mishkan was taken apart every day. If they traveled, they took it apart. But if they stayed in that one place, it stayed together. It was there. And so whenever any child of Israel did a mistake, if we call it a sin, they would bring a sin offering. And if they wanted to bring peace with them within their conflicts in their families and between the tribes, they brought peace offerings. And they brought olas, which is the burnt offering, because they wanted to get closer to Hashem. And all of these different motivations, and obviously that's not the complete motivations of why people brought offerings. But this is what Parasha Shemini is about. The essence of these verses in this first Aliyah is about Aaron acting as the high priest. And that's what we've just been reading. Does anyone have any questions? We will now, it's been a while, we will return to our study of the book called Be'ur Esser Sefirot, with or in the light of the Ten Sefirot. We are reading from section 3, verse Gimel, or paragraph 1 of section 3. Ve'im Yosef ha-shu'el le-shu'el ve'azeh ha-achrach ha-karicha ki yesh shem sefirot ki ritzoni lo mar ki en Dam Raka Ein Sof Levad. And if one goes on to ask, why should I be compelled to think that the Sefirot are there, as I would prefer to say that there's nothing there except the Infinite One alone? What this first few paragraphs that we've been studying, and it's been at least 8 days since we had this a study of the Be'ur Esser Sefirot, what it's talking about is trying to explain that the Sefirot exists. But if the Sefirot exist, does that mean that they are separate from God? No, they're part of God. They are God. But that means there's 10 gods. Chas v'shalom. There's not 10 gods. There's only one God. But there are 10 levels of consciousness. There are 10 emotions. Even Chokmah is an emotion. You feel wise. Yes, Chokmah, wisdom, is something more than the direct emotion. But understanding, you feel that you understand the person. It's an emotion. Even the Keter, the crown, is an emotion. Sometimes it's hard for people to understand this aspect, and that's what this paragraph is trying to bring us to the point of. There is only one God, and yes, there are 10 Sefirot, but we don't really understand how there can be 10 Sefirot. We don't understand the process of how they were created. And this is what this book or the Sefer is trying to explain as we go through each section in our morning studies when we have the time. The second paragraph of chapter 3. Teshuva Ein Sof Hu Shelimot B'li Chasaron Be'et Shesh Lo Koach B'li Gibul Be'en Lo Koach B'Gibul Ata Bechester Shelimoto. Answer, the Infinite One is perfect without any deficiency. And if you say that God's force is limited and not a limitless force, then you are subtracting from God's perfection. This is trying to answer the question that was asked. There's only God, so how can we say there's 10 Sephirot? And the answer that is not complete is God is perfect. And if we say God is not perfect, there's something less, there's something lacking in God, that God's force is unlimited. We're saying it's unlimited, but if we say that there's 10 Sephirot, we're saying God's force is limited. So this answer is really another question. The third paragraph. Shehagavu hanametsa maimenu tehila haya haolam haze shehu cheser mechashalam oto hasarit akach akoach shehu mimenu ufi shein lechesar Shelimoto Yeshlanu Lomer Hapehakare Behakare Achshesh Lokoa Hagavu Hapeveli Gavul Behanametza Mimenu Tachila Aim hasefi road shehem koa ash shalem bta hacheser shehem makvilim me hashafa ava me hashalamato aim koach shalosh Shalem Be'uva Heimana Ashafar Mehem Yesh Behem Koach Eser Lika Yesh Behem Koach Lifuo Behashalama Behachseron Behashalimot Uhahesuron Ahem Hadavarim Umavadilim Bain Devar Ladavar Viet Kihu Bilavat Kayon Bevariat Olamo Mabeli Besefi wrote Yesh Lehashev alze ki hakav ke gavna mora al hasirun ame kavin beet shelo kaivan bevariato yesh lehashev im kein haita Avariya b'mikra v'kol devar hava b'makara ein lo sedor v'anu ro'im ki hanavarim yesh lachem sedar hashamesh v'yom v'hayra v'hakochavim v'layla Be'al sedor sederhem matakimim. Be'al sederhem atbatalim. Be'al sederhem matachadashim. Be'chaseder hazeh shehem matakimim. matavate elim bohu anakara sefiro chehem koach leko metzavi hanagidar bagidar mesifar belifi shehaya mitziot anava rayaim vayam tzaot hasifirot em mishatanim zeh mazeh v'yesh behem rom v'safil uvenoni v'yafi shekolam be'akar echad v'hekal mein so mea en so she en chutz mi meinu. That's rather a long paragraph. And if you say that the limit is found at the moment of creation of this world, this is a subtraction from Hashem. And because there's not a deficiency in Hashem's perfection, we have to say necessarily that Hashem has a limitless, limited force. And found in this is the beginning of the Sefirot, which are a perfect force and a deficient force. When they receive from the divine flow that is coming from Hashem's perfection, then they are a perfect force. But when the flow is prevented from reaching them, they are a deficient force. Thus, there is within them a force that works towards both perfection and deficiency. And the perfection and the deficiency, these are the things which separate between one thing and another. And if you say that Hashem is alone and at the creation of Hashem's world, there were not the Sefirot, there is a reply to this. That is the intention of the teaching that it, the Sefirot, are deliberately omitted. And if you say that there's no direction to Hashem's creation, there's a reply as well. That if this were so, why would creation be in the Torah? No word that comes from the Torah has an order. But we can see that everything that was created has an order, such as the sun during the day and the moon and stars at night, and about the order of these being established, and about the order of these being destroyed, and about the order of these being renewed. This is what is called the Sefirot, because they are a force for all which exists and can be described in terms of numbers. And therefore, the reality of all creation is a projection of the Sefirot. They change from one thing to another, and in them are high points, low points, and middle points. But despite all this, all of them are one essence, and all are from the Infinite One. There's nothing outside of Hashem. Ein od milvado is the phrase. There is nothing but Hashem. This paragraph needs to be contemplated. What adds to your contemplation, if I remind you, that the word Sefirot or Sefar is a shoresh that relates to numbers. So it explains somewhat the numbers. It says that the Sefirot change. If the flow from above them, meaning from the Ein Sof, flows into them, they are perfect. They are fulfilled. In my opinion, that means that they're in the Olam, in its completed stage. But when the block, the Ein Sof flow is blocked, whatever, that we're not discussing yet what blocks it, they are deficient. And what does it mean that they are deficient? They have a lack. and they struggle to get that flow back. This is the idea that things change, and anything that changes is essentially an emotion, because it's causing whatever has been changed to strive to restore its balance, its perfection. Does anyone have any questions? We will have four more classes today. We will have a class at 11 a.m. West Coast time, which is titled The Evolution of God. We've been studying from a sefer that I read to you, and it's quite expansive. It's a really a helpful sefer to understand the Kabbalah, the initial tools of the Kabbalah, and literally all aspects of creation. Then at 4 p.m., I will be beginning a new class. If you're interested, I'm saying again the study of the Gilgulim of reincarnation. So if you haven't studied that and you can join that class or listen to the recordings, it's highly recommended, because I'm basically starting over with the Share Gilgulim, the gate of reincarnation, gate of the wheels. And it helps you understand the concept of the role of reincarnation. Then at 4:30 West Coast time, let me rephrase the time. The first class is at 11 a.m. This is a West Coast time. That's the evolution of God. Then there is a class at 1 p.m., which is the beginning of the Sefer Share Gilgulim, the reincarnation. Then there is a class at 4 p.m., which is our counting of the Omer, as well as our deep Zohar class. That class will run from 4 to 5. When I say 4 to 5, yeah, that's right, 4 to 5 West Coast time. Then there is a class at 7 p.m. West Coast time, which will be the writings of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria. So as you see, there are four classes today. I hope you'll join us for one or all of these classes as you have time. I wish you all a beautiful day. Shalom Gadol. Just a couple of announcements. On Tuesday, I have a regular doctor's appointment. Nothing serious. It's just the normal checkup. And then on Thursday, I have another one of the normal checkups. Again, nothing serious. So, and both of those classes, both of those doctor's appointments are going to disturb the 11 a.m. classes. And in one case, it'll even disturb. Well, it's only going to be disturbing the 11 a.m. classes, both Tuesday and Thursday. So just keep that in mind. And I wish you all a beautiful afternoon, a beautiful evening, and I hope you'll join us for one or all of the classes today. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well.
Shalom.
Shalom.